Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
We take our brief reflection this week from the writings and sayings of our father among the saints, Isaac of Syria. Particularly, I would like to focus today on St. Isaac's comments on spiritual wisdom. Drawn from his homily 45, we hear the following short comment. The mind that has discovered spiritual wisdom is like a person who has found in the midst of the sea a well-equipped boat. When he gets aboard it, it conveys him from the sea of this world and brings him to the isle of the world to come. This saying, with so many others, is collected in a small booklet, really a pamphlet, translated by Sebastian Brock under the title The Wisdom of St. Isaac the Syrian. A striking characteristic of St. Isaac's comments on true spiritual wisdom is the constant interrelationship of humility and exaltation, struggle and joy, abasement and exaltation, echoing Christ's own words in the Gospel, "He who should follow me will take up his cross," and "He who desires to be first shall be last, and last first." In the sayings of St. Isaac, we have this constant interplay between the heights of spiritual wisdom attained through the lowest debasement of a truly humble soul. Similarly, the calm and the peace of true spiritual insight come not by avoiding, but in the midst of the turmoil of life in this world. As he has said in the saying we've just read, one finds in the midst of the sea a well-equipped boat. Spiritual wisdom is not a wisdom that abandons the world, that ignores it, that moves beyond the created cosmos God has fashioned, but in the midst of this tumultuous sea finds a boat that leads one to what St. Isaac calls the Isle of the World to Come. The great joy of this particular saying is that St. Isaac is deeply aware of the fact that we will struggle in the ascent towards true spiritual knowledge. There will be times of great difficulty, great struggle. But he has, in the same homily, collected as a different saying, a comment on precisely this. Says St. Isaac, "A small cloud can cover the sun's orb, but the sun that follows it shines all the brighter. A little dejection can cover over the soul, but the joy that follows it is all the more filled with delight." In what he has already called the sea of this life, there will be times of great light and darkness, and just as a small cloud, when one thinks of it, a tiny fragment of the sky's space can seem to cover the whole brightness of the sun. Nonetheless, when the sun emerges, its brightness is incomparably greater. There will be times when dejection, a weakness of our passions, does indeed cover up the soul, says St. Isaac. And yet, through that dejection, through that covering up, comes a joy, a richness that wholly overpowers that dejected spirit. One is filled with delight, as he says in that small saying. So there is an interrelationship of struggle and redemption, darkness and light, pain and beauteous joy. And it is not simply an accidental relationship that in our humiliation there will come a release from humiliation and we will find joy. Rather, it is precisely in true humility that this joy comes about. In one of his brief single-sentence sayings, the person who has attained to knowledge of his own weakness has reached the summit of humility. Humility consists in a true knowledge of ourself, our real weakness. Humility is different from dejection. Dejection is that which sees our weakness and grows despondent, as if there is no hope. This is the kind of view of one's weakness which leads, in St. Isaac's beautiful imagery, to the soul being covered up, causing us not to see the light that is truly there. The dejected state is a constant temptation in the spiritual life. Yet the opposite of dejection in the spiritual struggle is not an unawareness of weakness, but rather an awareness that engenders humility rather than despondency. True humility is at the summit of spiritual growth. An awareness of weakness is always part and parcel of genuine spiritual wisdom. In his 45th homily, St. Isaac puts them in precisely that order, that we attain true humility through an awareness of our weakness, and then we discover the isle of the life to come, the spiritual harbour of true wisdom. There are many ways in which this is accomplished. The spiritual struggle, the ascetical life, is one of many tools, many means. One of the most important is our approach to the Holy Scriptures. On this, St. Isaac says clearly, "Do not approach the mystery-filled words of the Scriptures without prayer and a request for assistance from God. Say, Lord, grant me to become aware of the power in thy words." Consider prayer to be the key to insights in the truth of the Holy Scriptures. We are to hear, says St. Isaac, the holy words given to us by the Church in these sacred texts. Yet we are not to hear them simply as an intellectual exercise, simply as a literary study, but to hear them through prayer. Prayer, as he says, is the key to the insights of the truth in the Scriptures. Prayer is what reveals Christ in the Scriptures from beginning to end. Together with prayer, together with the Scriptures, one struggles, one works to find that real humility which leads towards spiritual wisdom. But there is a great tool, a tool that is directly related to our approach of the truth and our understanding of God and our own approach to true spiritual wisdom, and one which often we see as important, but in other means, in other ends, in other contexts. This particular tool is love of neighbor. In another of his short, single-sentence sayings, St. Isaac offers this thought: "A key to God's gifts is given to the heart by means of the love of one's neighbor." Love of the neighbor is not simply a generous act to another. It is not simply charity in the reduced modern sense of doing an act of kindness. It is charity in the true sense of the Scriptures, in the true sense of the Gospel, in which love towards the neighbor fosters a genuine love in our heart, a love of the other, a self-sacrificing love, a self-abasing love, in which the truth of God's presence can be seen and experienced. If true spiritual wisdom is above all else the heights of prayer, communion with God in the heart, then love of neighbor is a key ingredient not just to kindness and to fraternity, but to wisdom itself. Do we wish to grow wise, to find the true spiritual wisdom, the isle of the world to come, as St. Isaac calls it? If we wish to attain this wisdom, the door is opened by love of neighbor. St. Isaac here is reminiscent of a saying by St. Anthony the Great of Egypt, the founding father of eremitic monasticism. In the Apothegmata Patrum, the Sayings of the Desert Fathers, St. Anthony remarks, "Our life and our death is with our neighbor." So too here, St. Isaac, A key to God's gifts is given to the heart by the love of neighbor. True spiritual wisdom, so much the charge of every Christian, is to be attained through true prayer, through the scriptures as prayer reveals them to us, through the efforts at humility that come about through an increased awareness of our own weakness, yet one which does not grow despondent, but faithful and ever more humble. And this is capstoned, given its credence and its credibility, by the ability of the person to look to the neighbor in love, thus to emulate God's own love for his creation, and to find in one's heart the presence of that God who makes man truly wise.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.